Welcome to, it's not an episode, so I can't start with that, but it is a special edition of the 8-Bit Geek. It's the end of year 2019. We've got two specials going on this year. Since it's the end of the decade, we're going to do two shows. The first one here that you're listening to is the top five of 2019, and what a year it has been. So we're going to run you down, if you've never listened before. We're gonna run you down. We're gonna run down our favorite TV shows of the year, our favorite movies of the year, and our favorite video games of the year. So it should be a lot of fun. We do have a good time doing this, and most people seem to like it. So, you know, it's whatever. Blue Ratty, Ratty Blue Wizard. Thank you for the sub of 12 months with Twitch Prime. Yeah, so it's been a good year. Doug, you have not seen many movies this year.
No.
So it should be
fun. Yeah, my movie list sucks.
Okay, that's okay. Kevin also, he hasn't seen too many TV shows. I'm sure.
No, I was able to pull it together, though.
I don't know. I'm going to figure that your top five are just personal episodes of Cheers.
Wrestling.
Dylan. That one episode of Cheers with Frasier. Dylan.
But yeah, 2019 is coming to a close. It's Christmas this week. We've got Christmas. It's Christmas Eve when most people will hear this, or even Christmas Day when you're laying around the house. All your in-laws are there screaming and yelling, and you're just like, Jesus Christ, how do I get away from this? I know, the 8-Bit Geek. So thank you.
Yay.
So. Yeah. Are you guys doing anything special for Christmas? I know that, Doug, you already handled your business, right?
With Katie's dad.
Okay.
And his wife.
Okay.
And her daughter and her daughter's wife.
Oh, my God.
Nice. All right. And how did that go?
Fine.
Was it one of those that you can't stand it and you can't wait to leave? Or is it I actually enjoyed this?
No, it was fun. They really love the kids, so we let them play with the kids for like an hour. The problem was like they did it. It was a Monday night, and so yeah, it was like they didn't get off work till like 5 or whatever. So like they didn't want to start anything until 6. So it was like we got there at like 6, and it was like, hey, I gotta get home. I got a show to do. So and also we use the kids as an excuse. They got to be in bed by 8 because we have a packed week of, like, you know, my birthday is tomorrow on Tuesday, right? So we're doing stuff with my parents for my birthday then, and then Christmas morning, and then we're doing Christmas dinner with my parents also. And then at some point we're going to have to see her mom. So it's just like, we need to get them down in bed because otherwise if we don't, this week's going to be a fucking nightmare. And which is true, but also I need to be home by 8 because I have a thing to do.
Kev, are you doing anything? I know that you hate Christmas, so
yes, it's my war against Christmas, so I'm gonna be going lawn to lawn. Instead of singing Yuletide, they'll be yelling Slayer.
Wait, you'll just be cool yelling the word Slayer?
I'm gonna go through different songs depending on how far I get, because their songs are really heavy on the vocals. So like I don't know how many houses I can get down before I just have no voice.
You're being for real.
No.
Okay. I was like, oh my God.
Why would I fucking do that? I'm 38. I'm not going to, I'll be the only guy. And like I said, they'll be like, oh, Kevin's at it again.
Well, they should know you by now.
Yeah, basically. It's that dude, that asshole. No, we're just going to be hanging out and playing video games. And I got to work the next day, so I can't really travel.
You have to work the next day. Yeah. Take a day off, Kev.
Yeah, man.
I used all my PTO already. So that's why I have no more days off. So.
So did you already like open gifts, or did you just buy yourself gifts because you hate Christmas, or what?
Yeah. When you hate Christmas, you buy yourself stuff. I mean, it's a year round Christmas if you're just buying yourself gifts throughout the year.
I just don't know how every year we go through this, and I just don't understand.
You get so mad. It's okay. I enjoy Christmas. I just don't really, I'm just too lazy to celebrate it.
Sure. Whatever.
Plus we don't have family out here, so it's not.
Doesn't matter. You have family inside your house. It's you and your wife.
Sounds like a weird
movie. They're more like roommates. Come on.
They're more like roommates.
It's my roommates.
She tells him to go clean up because he's a messy piece of shit.
Yeah. She throws him a bone every once in a while. But
she's like, hey, you want to hook up tonight or what?
She's like, no, my derby friends are going to be over.
Tonight we push the dance together.
Like, no, Kev, I need you to stay in your office the entire night because I have friends coming over. So,
and they're not your friends. We are
not embarrass me.
We're not cross-pollinating friends. Get out of here. Kidding, Kev. Let's see. Ashley's mom flew in last night, and so today was the first day that she's here. I love when she's here. She's an awesome human being. She's just full of love and happiness and everything. So I really, really enjoy her company.
More skydiving tapes.
Oh yeah, my god!
I was just thinking of that. It started off so awkward.
Like, this is a point of view porno, huh?
I completely forgot that you guys met her and then watched
it started
her.
Like a casting couch film. I was like, how bad do you want this? Oh, I'm willing to do anything for it.
Are you scared? I'm terrified. The jump's going to be so big.
I think at one point during the jump, the dude kissed her on the cheek, too. It was really weird.
I think he went to whisper, or to say something, not whisper, but say something in her ear. And I think she was like, what? And it was just like.
But, she loved it. She loved every second of it.
And then afterwards, she looked like she just like exited a casting couch, casting call. Hair was all messed up. She was all flustered.
Mm-hmm. It's good shit. So she's in town.
Yeah, that was how we met her.
and then her other her aunt and cousin and all that comes into town the day after Christmas. Tomorrow on Christmas Eve or today, whatever it is. We usually go to a friend's house and have a German Christmas, right? Where it's they do German food and all that stuff, but they stopped doing it. So we took up the mantle, but we went, we're going to do Mexican food. Nice. We're going to have a fiesta on Christmas Eve. So family's going to come over, friends are going to come over, and we're going to have a whole bunch of good food, a whole bunch of fun. We'll open a little bit of gifts from people who can't make it on Christmas Day. And then Christmas Day, there'll be a whole bunch of cool stuff under the tree. And then we'll have a Christmas dinner at like 1 p.m. We still call it dinner. There'll be turkey and ham, and there'll be all that. Snorkel says, German? Aren't you Jewish, Jer? And I said, yeah, man, but listen, you got to forgive and forget.
Yeah, happy Hanukkah there, Jer.
Yeah, thanks.
Did you celebrate? Did you get 8 crazy nights of gifts?
I so far got one gift. So
is it like night 2 right now? Or
yeah, it's night 3. I haven't kept up with my Jewish heritage. It's my first go around. I'm training wheels are still on.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we're not. So, you know, I'm a Christmas boy. I'm going to open those gifts on a Christmas morning. Let's see. And his tiny lighthouse, Jared, didn't you give shit for eating Mexican food last year at Christmas? Yes, that was at Christmas.
No, that was at Thanksgiving.
No, whatever. This is Christmas Eve, and we're still doing a traditional meal on Christmas, unlike Kevin, who will probably be eating Spam
Taco Bell.
And Taco Bell.
Is Taco Bell open on Christmas? Fuck yeah.
So, without further ado, we're going to get into our top fives, which will be a lot of fun. We're going to start with our TV shows, top five TV shows. And we'll start with number 5, and we'll start with Kevin, since he hates Christmas. We'll start with Kev. Number 5, what is your number 5 favorite TV show of 2019?
My number 5, starting the list off really strange because I'm sure it's going to be much higher on your guys' list, but Mandalorian. The reason it is so high is because I didn't want to nominate
You mean so low? The reason it's so low on your list?
I just hang up now. Hang up now. Doug and I will finish this off.
So the reason I listed it so low is just because like it's not fully finished, so I can't really judge it by the season.
What? We're one episode left.
was one episode left.
Is there only one episode left?
Yes.
I didn't know. I thought there was more. I thought it was supposed to be like a 12 or 10 or 12 episode season. So, okay, then it would have been higher up on my list. But for now, it's at 5. So Mandalorian, though, I really enjoy the show. And yeah. I think it's one of the best things Star Wars has come out with in years.
I don't think
there you go. That's my number.
Lovable Bill says so that episode could drop the ball, and I don't think it's possible.
Yeah, I don't think it will be either. Yeah. But it is a damn good show, and it's like I said, that jumped. I mean, that beat other things that mm-hmm. I had in mind. So,
yeah. All right. Let's see. I'll go number two. Doug will finish it up. My number five is going to be Disney's Imagineering. That show is on a different level as far as documentaries go and how well it's produced, how honest it is with itself, and how well it kind of lays out what has happened throughout the years at Disneyland parks and through Disney itself, the CEOs that have gone through, the decision making. It's really fantastic. It's on Disney Plus, so if you have a chance to watch it, I highly recommend it. So that's my number five.
All right. My number five, I had a hard time with this too, because there's been a lot of great TV out this year, and so it got really hard to like kind of, you know, narrow it down. But one, I think this was also on my list last year. The second half came out around April or so, I want to say, this year, to finish off, I guess, the first season. I don't know how Netflix does things, but Sabrina, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Yeah. It was so good, and I hope that a third part, second season, whatever you want to fucking call it, I don't know, because it's like part one, part two, and then so anyways, I think they're working on another one, and so I don't know, it was just good, it was fun. I it led me to read like all the Sabrina comics that were available on Amazon Prime Reading that the show is based on. It's pretty fucking good, pretty fucking close too.
Awesome. Kev, what's your number four?
My number four is the latest season of Stranger Things. I really like that. It's crazy seeing these kids grow up. Like, I thought this was going to be the last season, and it could have ended like that. Like, I think they could have ended the series on this season. It was that good, but I would have been higher up on my list had it not been for, you're right, it's been a tough year for good shows. I mean, like, there's just so many good ones out there. But yeah, Stranger Things is my... Like, I'd say it's really good. It's not the best season. I think this, I don't know, man. I'm going, the first season is still the best to me, but this third season was a strong season.
Okay. My number four is going to be Silicon Valley, the last season of the show. And boy, oh boy, full of laughs, full of fun, full of just craziness. The situations were still insane. The ending was probably one of the best endings to a TV show that I've ever seen. It was a really, really, really great send off. I almost teared up a little bit. I was like, oh man. And so Silicon Valley has to be one of my favorite shows of the even decade. Like it's just that good. It's I'm really sad that it's gone. I'm really sad that I even thought about rewatching it all. That's how nostalgic the last episode will make you, because you'll be like, okay, well, I need to restart this again. And so it's that good. So that's my number four.
My number four is higher on both of your list, but that's Doom Patrol.
Oh,
DC's Doom Patrol. Yeah, it knocked out another show. I had a Russian Doll, which is a Netflix show, which is really good also, but I knocked that one out for Doom Patrol, because Doom Patrol was so fucking good from A to B. It was phenomenal. It was funny. Alan Tudyk fucking just killed it as Mr. Nobody.
Mr. Nobody, yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome. Fuck, that show was great. Can't wait for season two. It was surprising. It was like, God damn, this is good. Mm-hmm. Why can't they make all their shows good?
Yeah, because it felt like they were just uncensored, so they got to do what they wanted, and they got to kind of make the show they wanted.
Plus, I mean,
a streaming platform instead of just being on a television station.
Yeah, and they had a whole episode to them murdering Nazis.
Yeah, mm-hmm. If that doesn't get you on the top five Kennedys list.
Yeah.
And that was just like, fuck yeah. Oh, it was so good. Punk rock. Oh, so good. Mm-hmm. Brendan Fraser is just killing it, man. Good,
I'm so
great
glad
show.
He's back. Yeah, yeah, I'm so glad he's back.
Kev, number three?
My number three is one I didn't expect to like, but after giving it a couple episodes, I ended up falling in love with it, man. Umbrella Academy. Umbrella Academy came out earlier this year. And
I totally forgot about Umbrella Academy.
Yeah. I saw the initial stuff and I was like, oh, cool. It's kind of a weird superhero thing. I'll give it a try. The first episode to me was eh. But then as it went on, it got much better and better and much better. Like, it was a fucking great series. But I like the characters in it. I heard I should watch The Misfits after this. Like, I've never seen that one. Like, it's a UK show called Misfits or something. And I heard it's very similar in a way, so I want to go check that out next. But I like the way the story was being told in Umbrella Academy. So yeah,
I don't know if it's similar. I mean, it's a bunch of kids that are in detention, doing community service stuff. Essentially, get like struck by lightning or some sort of event that then gives them superpowers. It's fucking hilarious. It's got the one brother that does all the drugs and stuff.
Oh right. Yeah,
I heard
the
one.
He's in it, yeah. He plays Nathan, I think is his character's name. Great character, great show. Kind of lost it after like around season three, but it was good. Mm-hmm. It had a phenomenal cast. It was fucking awesome.
Yeah. So I mean that's my number three. I thought it was great, and I do want to. The way it ended, like, or at least going into the last episode, like, there's no way you can come up with a season two out of this. And then as soon as the episode ends, like, you're like, I could see a season two now.
Okay, and there it is. Like, there, yeah. Literally, it was like 10 minutes left. I was like, I don't know how they're going to fucking wrap this up. How the fuck do we get a second season? Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. There it is.
So I look forward to that.
I need to watch that still. I haven't given it a chance.
Oh, yeah, it's so good.
Past that first episode, for some reason, at least it rubbed me wrong. And then once you're past that, it gets so much better down the way.
My number three is going to be The Boys.
Mine too.
Aw.
Yay. Fuck yeah, The Boys.
Man, like, you don't know what to expect until you're about 4 minutes into the episode. And
oh my God. Yeah.
Splat. And then you're just like, oh!
Oh.
It is absolutely just balls to the wall, man.
Oh, he's just hanging there. He's standing there holding her hands,
and you're just like, "Oh, this is what we're in for." This is, and it gets worse, and it gets so much worse. And so, that was kind of a genre changing kind of event, you know, like you. You think of superheroes being told in one way, but this story really leads you to look at them in a different light, you know, as kind of they're all the bad guys, you know, and they're just pieces of garbage. And
I think what it did was it took the superhero like mythos, all the stuff that we've known from like Superman, Batman, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And what it did is it took them out of that world. That almost perfect world where those things can exist just went, and then went, and what if it was in our world actually?
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, corporations get involved and it's all about making money and sponsorship deals and all this stuff where it's like
social media and
yeah, that is exactly what it would be like.
So it was crazy. So that made it my number three, one of my favorites, man, of the year. And I can't wait. The trailer for season two was shown, and it's so violent. Like, the first season trailer led you to believe that it was good. It was like, oh, cool, another superhero thing. I'll check it out. Like, it's kind of edgy looking. But season two trailer was just like, nah, here it is. It's in your face.
Headshot. Heavy ripped off. Just like, okay, so this is what we're doing. All right.
Disgusting. Nice. So that was so that's Doug in my number three.
Yeah.
So my number two then, I've loved this series for a long time. This is one of my favorite seasons, and it's American Horror Story 84.
Yes. So it's not my number two, but fuck, that was such a good fucking season.
It was so good. Holy fuck. Like, I love slasher movies. I gush over them. And this was basically, they took all my favorite like slasher films and just, they literally ripped them off. I mean, but they paid so many tributes, and they put their own flair into it. And once again, it's just great seeing these actors season after season play completely different characters. Like one season you love them, the other season you hate them. And I can't think of her name. It's Leia's daughter.
Billy Lord.
She was amazing in this season. She was one of my favorites. And just everyone, I didn't know that the LA Strangler or the Night Strangler or whatever was a real person. Like, I love that they incorporate these real serial killer like references into the show.
Night Stalker.
Thank you. And so like, I love that they incorporate stuff like that. And it just makes it really interesting. But yeah, American Horror Story killed it this year, especially like after coming off Apocalypse. Like, I thought they were going to be done. Like, Apocalypse ended, and it was a great season to just go out on. And also, like, a lot of people were leaving the show after that. So after you heard 84, I was like, I don't know if it's going to be good, but they killed it. Like, all the actors did a great job. It was a really fun season from beginning to end, and I can't say enough good things about it.
Nice. My number two is going to be Doom Patrol. It deserves so much high praise. It, you know, it really ruined, what's it called for me? What's the name?
Legends.
Yeah. Legends of Tomorrow. I was a big fan of Legends. Still am, I guess you can still say. Legends of Tomorrow has a great cast, had really weird storylines. And then Doom Patrol came out and I was just like, holy shit, someone put Legends on like fucking speed and fucking cocaine and heroin, and this is what it is. Like, you can't go back to that bubblegum bullshit now. Mm-hmm. After watching Doom Patrol, it's so weird, it's so fascinating. You know, Kevin talked a little bit about Doom Patrol, of how like they were allowed to get kind of naughty with the R rating and stuff, and I think it's more than that. I think it's just really, their writing was phenomenal. The backstories for everybody, they made everybody really interesting, and the dynamic between the characters really, really shined. And you can really feel the emotion coming from everybody involved. Like, it was cast perfectly. Everybody just did a fantastic job, and I can't wait for a season two. I hope that, you know, I hope it gets a season two. They haven't announced it yet, but it has to, right?
I thought we said they renewed them before the first season even ended.
Oh yeah, they did. They did. Yeah. My bad.
So it's just basically we're just playing the waiting game. Hopefully we do see it next year.
It was a really good first season, and that's a hard thing to do these days. A lot of these shows, it takes at least one season to get your footing and your grounding. But boy oh boy, this year has been really great for first seasons. So that's my number two.
Bill's saying season two will be on HBO Max and DCU. So hell
that's
yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And Plex. but that's another story. My number two.
Oh, I can't wait for this.
Watchmen.
Oh, I didn't even watch that one.
I haven't either. I want to.
I didn't watch that, man.
I loved it. God damn it.
It was so surprisingly good. I'm one of those people, I read the comic, and I saw the movie, and I was kind of like, okay, well, we tried. The movie's not bad, but it was just like, the comic is so fucking out there that it was just like, there's no way you can make anything out of this. And the TV show did a really fucking good job. It does kind of ignore the movie, and it's based off of the comic, so the giant squid and all that stuff that wasn't in the movie is talked about and shown in the show. But this takes place like nowadays, like years after the events of 1985, when Ozymandias brought down the giant squid and killed 3 million people in New York and all this stuff, and how it's supposed to bring world peace. But the show's just fucking crazy, man. Like, it takes place in like Tulsa, Oklahoma, and like follows some of their vigilantes / cops / it's weird. Everyone wears masks, like police and criminals. It's nuts. It was crazy.
I saw the first episode and they explained that. Yeah. Cause they don't, they find out where they live and they just keep it going.
There was like years before, family. Like a bunch of criminals. Yeah. They determined where cops were living and they broke into their houses and killed them all. Well, most of them. And so now the cops start wearing masks so that they can't be identified.
Crazy.
And that way criminals won't come and kill them. Yeah. There's like a cult, like gang of people that all wear Rorschach masks. Mm-hmm. Called the Seventh Cavalry. Oh, it's fucking insane. And there's this whole like race thing going on with it too. And then they talk about the Minutemen and the Watchmen and It's got Silk Spectre, and then we're watching Adrian Veidt, wherever he's at, mm-hmm. which is Ozymandias. Like, just watching all this, it's so fucking crazy. The show is so fucking good. I was surprised. Like, again, I was like, okay, we'll see how this is. HBO, we'll see how this is. I mean, Watchmen's such a hard thing to tackle, and boy, they fucking kill it. And it's one of those shows, one season, if they don't do a season two, I'm okay. They wrapped it up. They did it in a way that was like, I would like to see another season, but I don't need to. Like, you finished this story. I'm okay with this. So it was fucking awesome.
Awesome. So, Kev, what's your number one?
Yeah, cool. My number one is, I guess, what I've been alluding to the whole time, Doom Patrol, because goddamn, I love this show. It was so out of nowhere. I knew nothing about it until you guys shared the trailer with me, and I was in love from the trailer. Watched the first episode. Yeah, it had everybody I wanted. It had Brendan Fraser. It had fucking Mr. Nobody. I'm trying to remember the chick from Orange is the New Black. I can't remember her actual name, but she was so good in it.
Oh, the one with the multiple personalities?
Yes.
It's like Diana something.
Yeah. Diana, yeah. I remember
Diana
that.
Diana Guerrero or something like that. Or mm-hmm. Yeah. She was amazing in it. And it's crazy because, you know, you get to see one side of her in Orange is the New Black. But seeing her do this many different characters as one character, like, it really shows, like, she's an amazing actress. And, like, I love what she does in the series. Like, she's just amazing. And I love the relationship between her and Brendan Fraser's character. It's just, I love it. Like I said, everything about this show, we thought, like you guys talked about earlier, man, it's just, I can't say enough good things about it. It's amazing. That's easily my number one for this, and I can't wait for season two.
All right. Our number one, Doug's and I, is probably going to be the same, which I'll announce it right here and right now. It is The Yellow Brick Road from Netflix. We watched this religiously together. It was the true story of how the Wizard of Oz came to be. It was about the writer. It was a fantastic deep dive into his life and his world that he created. So it's really, really good stuff. The Mandalorian.
It was The Mandalorian.
We all knew.
Yep.
Yeah.
Especially if you guys got so mad at me for having it as number five. You guys were offended. like you were like, let me get John Favreau on the phone.
How do you, man, it takes a lot to make a great show. It takes a lot more to make a great show where the lead character doesn't have many lines.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And to have a character emote without a face, without facial expressions, just by looks, body language, it's a feat that not many, even movies, TV shows can do. I love their commitment to not taking the helmet off. And, I find the storytelling incredible. I find Baby Yoda is something that has changed pop culture in just 2 months.
Yeah.
Kermit got knocked out as the tea meme.
Like,
Kermit
fuck.
Is no longer the damn tea meme because of mm-hmm.
Yoda. Yeah. So that is all of it together. It's the most Star Warsy thing since the original trilogy.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And in live action form. Like, you can go and play a video game, you know, and you can go and play and read books, and the comics and stuff are very Star Warsy. But this, in a live action setting, it's they've recaptured the magic that was the first three films, which is incredible. So that's why it's number one on my list.
Yep. Same. I mean, all those reasons. I've just loved it. It's just been a fun ride, and I, you know, they're already filming season two. I can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
It's Firefly, but Star Wars. Nah, I mean, I can see, I guess, the comparison, but it's not, because it's just The Mandalorian.
I just realized something. Nick Nolte finally got to be in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Patton Oswalt skit about that, where he was originally supposed to be Han Solo?
Oh, yeah.
He tried out for Han Solo, but he didn't get the part. And I like Patton Oswalt just talking about it, like just Nick Nolte's beer gut hanging over his belt going, oh, God damn it, Chewie. Oh, he finally got to be in Star Wars. Good on Nick Nolte. He persevered.
Yeah, eventually, 40 years later, you'll get that spot.
Gotta keep it going.
The cast list for the show has been amazing, too. And I'm excited to see what Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau bring us in the future. Outside of just The Mandalorian, because they've kind of been put in charge of Disney Star Wars TV and whatever's to come. And that's really exciting.
That's awesome.
So it's been fucking great.
There's a lot of cameos in this too. Like stars, like, you know, just kind of in background characters, right?
This is the way.
Yeah.
This is the way. Yeah, there has been. I mean, anybody who's been a part of even the animated series and stuff like that, and all the directors have been in it. Like, it's just phenomenal. It's really good stuff. All right, that is it for our top five TVs of 2019. We're going to move on to our movies now. And man, oh man, I can say for my list, it's very diverse. Normally, I mean, I think last year it was full of superhero movies, but this year I've seen some really good shit. This time, since Doug says that he has kind of a weak list, let's start with you, Doug. What's your number five?
I mean, I only went to the movies for the big blockbusters this year.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, I was mostly watching TV shows and stuff at home. I didn't watch a lot of movies, mm-hmm. not in the theaters.
Well, I mean, you get a pass because you did have a kid, so.
Exactly. I mean, that's been kind of the thing. It's like with a newborn, you don't really get a chance to go see a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So
I mean, you can, but don't be that asshole, please.
Exactly. So my number five is Spider-Man Far From Home.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. It was out of the movies I saw this year, it was one of the better ones.
Mm-hmm.
it was a fun Spider-Man movie. And I'm glad that we're going to see where it goes. There was some concern earlier in the year when Sony and Disney couldn't figure out what they were going to do, and so they were like, well, that's it for Spidey. It was like, nah, motherfuckers, not with that ending.
Yeah,
yeah,
such a,
right?
Bad cliffhanger.
So they were able to resolve that thanks to Tom Holland's drunk phone call to Bob Iger. So thanks, Tom Holland.
Thank you, Tom.
Drunk Tom Holland.
So number five,
Kev, what's your number five?
My number five is a more recent one. It was a Netflix movie starring Eddie Murphy, and it's Dolomite Is My Name. And it was fucking great. Like, I love Eddie Murphy. And I actually, back in the day, I collected both Dolomite movies. When I worked in a record store, like, a whole, like, DVD collection came in, and I bought that. And it was, like, Black Tornado and just Dolomite Is My... You know, just all the different Dolomite movies. Fucking loved him. And so it was great to see this movie. It's great to see Eddie Murphy back on screen. Just everyone who was in it. Wesley Snipes was great in it. Titus, I can't remember his last name, but Titus he's been in another Netflix show. Titus Burgess. Burgess?
He was in Kimmy Schmidt.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Titus Burgess was in this as well, and he played a great, great role. But yeah, it's just a really good movie. I can't recommend it enough. If you have Netflix, check out Dolomite Is My Name. I absolutely loved it.
My number five is going to be Hustlers. And God damn, I have never wanted to know the ending of a movie so badly as this one. Jennifer Lopez was absolutely phenomenal. Her cast that surrounded her was really great. It was such a great thrill ride. I was not expecting such a good movie, and it turned out to be phenomenal, and I really, really enjoyed it. And it was something. I Ashley and I watched it together, and we just sat there for like 30 minutes looking up the true like story and finding out what the real lead, what the main character actually looked like and all this stuff. And it was based on a true story about how these girls went after these rich men that were working the stock exchange and all that. It was really crazy. It was good stuff. So I recommend. So
nice.
Doug, number four.
My number four is Avengers Endgame.
Wow. I didn't expect that to be so far down for you.
Yeah. It was a good movie. It was a good movie. Okay. It took 20 years to get there, it feels like. I guess it was only like 10 or 11. I don't know. I just saw some better movies this year. It was a good one. Okay. And I didn't really have any complaints with it. It's just, you know, I saw better stuff.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Kev?
My number four is probably not on any of your lists, but if it is, fucking A, awesome. Alita Battle Angel. It was amazing. Directed by Robert Rodriguez. It was kind of like a weird live-action anime. Like the way they animated Rosa, Alita, the way they animated her, onto the character. It just looked great. It's hard to explain how they did it, but it looked really good. Christoph Waltz is amazing as always. And once again, he had a very, like, this felt like a live action anime in all the sorts, like all the enemy designs or the boss designs, I'm guessing. And Christoph Waltz is kind of like this Grim Reaper type looking dude, hunter. Jennifer Connelly's in it. Mahershala Ali is in it. Like, a lot of good people in this movie. If you haven't seen it, definitely give it a chance. But man, yeah, this was ended up being one of my surprise movies. I didn't know anything about it going in, and Debbie just wanted to see it, so I kind of went with her and ended up loving this film.
I loved the film as well.
Like two or three times.
I loved it. Yeah. It didn't make my list, but I definitely it was you know, top 10 of my 2019. If we had a top 10 list, it would have made it. My number four is going to be Honey Boy, nice. Which I just recently saw with Shia LaBeouf and LaBeouf. And it rocked me. It was a story about what happens when he was on Even Stevens and his relationship with his father, or non-relationship with his father, and how he just wanted him to be a dad. And it was wild, man. And it's from the fall of Shia to the forgiveness that he had for his dad, and the rehab he had to go through, and the writing experiments that helped him get through it. And man, what a rough course for somebody. But it was he deserves an Oscar for his performance. It was that good. Ashley and I couldn't stop talking about it afterwards, and you know, it makes you really feel for these kid actors that grow up in Hollywood, and especially with the parents who are living their dream, and that might not be their kid's dream. And it's fucked, man. So that was my number four.
All right.
Well,
my number three is John Wick Chapter 3.
Oh,
Still need to see it.
Pew pew.
You haven't seen it yet, Kev?
No.
We got you all caught up on John Wick at Ed's in like February, and you didn't go fucking see this?
It's the magical place to see it.
You know, yeah. It's on my Plex, right?
Yeah, I know it's on Plex. It just got thrown on there recently, I think.
Nope.
No, like 8 months ago.
8 months ago, dude.
It's been out for a while.
Oh, mm-hmm. Well, shit.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. I don't think I don't think it's the best of the series. I think the first one still really just fucking kills. But man, this series fucking rules. And this is a series where like they could just make these forever and I would still go see them. I feel like it, as long as they just keep with the action and stuff,
yeah,
it's cool. Yeah. Plus I like how they do the story where it's like not much is really happening in a story, but there's just a lot of action to get through to tell it. And I'm okay with it because that's how you fucking spread a franchise out. Like, all right, here's our story. Well, shit, we could do that in two movies. Or, hear me out, 10. And this is how. And I'd be down. More John Wick, please.
They said they're going to keep making them until people stop wanting them. So.
Yeah.
It's going to be a yearly event like Saw.
Well, yeah, like every 2 years. I think the next one's planned for 2021.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. To launch the same day as Matrix.
Yeah.
Someone's going to move.
Yeah.
Kiev?
Yeah, my number three, once again, I'm sure it's going to be much higher on your guys' list, but Rise of Skywalker, Star Wars. I liked it a lot. I've got nothing bad to say about it. It's just the other two I like more. But this movie was good, and it was much better than 8. I don't know what the critics were really thinking when they gave it such a low score. And it sucks because it kind of dissuaded an audience to go. I don't understand why people still look to other people's opinions for movies without actually forming their own. But here we are in 2019. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a great movie. That's my spoiler-free review. Yeah.
All right. My number three is Star Wars: Rise of the Skywalker.
Oh shit!
It definitely, I struggled really hard with it because of the fact that I wanted it to be higher. The other Star Wars, like I don't think The Last Jedi made my number. I think it was like top five, but it wasn't number one. I think the last Star Wars film was that made number one for me was, I think, Force Awakens, which was, you know, fucking...
Or Solo or Rogue One.
Yeah, yeah. But this one, I agree with that it wasn't a bad movie. It was a really good movie. It was done really well. It was a nice send-off to the Skywalker saga. I don't understand all of the hate. Yeah, there's things that I could nitpick that brought it down from being number one. But overall, I thought it was a really, really fun ride, and I would see it again. And I enjoyed it. I can't talk about it without spoiling it. So it's really hard for me to get deep into talking Star Wars, especially because it just released and I don't want to ruin it for anybody. Yeah. So I'll just leave it at that. And I'm sure that in future episodes, we'll talk more in depth about it. Cause all three of us haven't sat down and actually talked fully about that film.
Yeah.
So that's where it lands for me is number three. Doug.
My number two is Rise of Skywalker.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. For all the same reasons, it was a fun movie. It had some great Star Wars-y things in it.
Mm-hmm.
It had some lore stuff in it, which I really dug.
Mm-hmm.
It tied up some loose ends with stuff that people have been asking for years.
Mm-hmm.
I think it righted some of the wrongs done by Ryan Johnson.
The Nameless.
The Nameless. He who should not be named. Yeah. Not that I think that his movie...
His
wasn't
movie
great,
wasn't bad either.
No, yeah, and I think what I said after that movie too was like, well, we'll wait till the final chapter because I don't know where things are going, and I think that Abrams kind of course corrected some of those things, but he still used them to tell the story, and so those things that people are like, oh, this would never happen, blah, so blah blah blah, whatever. Like I think that was answered here.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. It was a blast. It was fun. I saw it twice within like 24 hours. it was good. Mm-hmm. I mean, and yeah, any movie you sit there and you just talk about, you can nitpick, you can nitpick it to death. And I just think that there's just people out there that just want to nitpick and bitch and moan about stuff. And they'll tear it apart, to get their rocks off, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever, I don't know. You have this one camp that loves The Last Jedi that hated this. You have another camp that hated The Last Jedi and loved this. And you have some people that hated The Last Jedi and hated this. So I don't fucking... The thing is, like, you just can't win. You're never going to make anybody happy. Yeah. But I'm tired of also, yeah, hearing all the complaints.
I think...
And also the stuff that's like, well, can you imagine what George Lucas would do if, you know, would have done if he had... If he
yeah,
had
we charged? We did. We saw the prequels. It was the prequels.
Yeah, we saw the prequels. They fucking sucked. Let's not pretend that those movies fucking rule now. They don't. Yeah. They're still... garbage. They're still garbage movies. And he wanted, his whole plan was to take us on one of those like into the body like adventures where they shrink down in size and enter the bloodstream to enter someone's body to find and deal with midichlorians. So thank God George Lucas wasn't involved in this fucking franchise.
Oh man.
Take that argument and fuck off.
Midichlorians
aren't canon anymore, are they?
I agree. Well, yeah, they still are, but it's, you know.
Nobody mentions them.
But and yeah, it's been forgotten.
I think J.J. Abrams said it best. Where I agree with him to a certain extent. Where we live in a society where it's 0 to 100, and that's it. Like there's only 0 or 100, and when it comes to hating on something, and you don't get a middle ground anymore. It's either A, you're with me, or B, you're fuck you, you're against me. And
yeah.
there's no room for anything else in this world that we're living in, which kind of sucks. Yeah. But that brings us to number two, I guess. Or wait, no, wait, that was number two.
That was your number two.
So it's, Kev? No, I'm up. My number two is also a number two, and that is It Chapter Two. I fucking loved this movie.
Yeah, I still haven't seen it.
Man, it's I can't recommend it enough. Like, I loved the first It, and this was a perfect adaptation, or a perfect, like, you know, just a perfect sequel to it. And it's just like the adult actors, like the people. It was Jessica Chastain, James McAvoy, Bill Hader, Isaiah Mustafa. Like, you get to see all these people, and they do such a great job of portraying the younger versions of themselves. So it's easy to recognize who's who. And the guy who played, Eddie, James Ranzone, or looked almost exactly like actual Eddie. So it was kind of disturbing, like, how close they looked. But it was just a fantastic movie. A lot more laughs this time around. Bill Hader, once again in every scene, killed it. Like, he was fantastic in it. Just everybody did such a great job. That's one of my favorite. Like, it was one of my favorite miniseries when I was a kid, and it's great to see that they did such a loving job with the new chapter, or like the new version of it.
Nice.
Yeah, you mentioned Bill Hader, and that honorable mention for my TV show list. Barry season two was so fucking good.
I need to drop Ashley and just start watching it, because it doesn't seem like we're ever gonna fucking finish.
I mean, I've been saying you need to drop Ashley for years, but that's a totally different story.
Oh no!
I told you I'll drop her when you drop yours. All right, my number two is The Peanut Butter Falcon.
Nice.
I fell in love with this film. I saw it twice within a 48-hour period.
Wow.
And then I saw the another halftime for somehow. I forget. I walked in on it or something. I don't know. But it is that good of a film. It almost was my number one. God, if you guys have yet to see it, it's on the Plex. You really need to set some time aside. You'll fall in love with these two and lead actors, and the chemistry that they have is just so good. It's such a heartwarming story. I teared up, I laughed, you know, I cried, I got angry. It gave me everything that I ever want in a film. So go see it. Do yourselves a favor. Go see the movie Peanut Butter and Falcon. That's good shit. And we at number one.
Already.
That's it.
My number one, it was the Joker.
Oh.
My number one movie, man. That movie fucking ruled. It was unlike any of the other movies I saw. I mean, again, everything on my list, big blockbuster, high budget, you know, high octane, just crazy action and all that bullshit, right? Mm-hmm. And this movie was like, hey, we're gonna tell the story of the Joker, and we're gonna make you feel really fucking uncomfortable while you watch it.
It was very uncomfortable.
And it was like slower paced, and it wasn't an action movie, and it was sad. And again, like, everyone was so worried, like, oh, people are going to side with him, and they're going to feel inspired by him, and they're going to want to be him, and they're going to use him as like a beacon of this whatever bullshit incel cuck bullshit that's out there or whatever, right? And I don't know, man, you watch that movie, there ain't nothing redeeming about this guy. Like, it is not, he is not someone to look up to, which is funny because in the movie everyone looks up to him, but even in the movie the people that look up to him are looking up to him for the wrong fucking reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great movie. It was so surprisingly good. And for it to be a DC, a comic book movie that, like, again, stripped away everything we know about comic book movies and told this really just gritty tale, yeah, about, you know, an origin story of a villain.
Nice.
It was, I think, the best movie I saw in theaters last year. Again, I didn't go see a lot, but this one was unlike anything else I saw.
Kev?
Oh, man.
Kev?
Can't follow that up. No, my number one is, I mean, we haven't really talked much about it, but Avengers Endgame. Like, I loved that movie. And it's not really the movie so much, because in reality, I think I liked Infinity War more. But Endgame wrapped up every storyline that I wanted to see. It was good closure for following 10 years worth of movies. Like I said, whether you loved or hated the movie, in the end, it was great to see kind of closure for these characters and kind of like a passing of the torch to the next phase, the next generation of Marvel characters. I really enjoyed it. And like I said, there was many, I brought Kleenex to the theater and I was in tears a lot of the time, and I saw it twice. And even the second time, I just at least had a heads up when I knew I was going to cry. But it was just like, it was a very, very good movie. And like I said, they did their best to close it out the best they could. And I think it was fantastic. And that's why it ended up being my number one movie of the year.
Same. Avengers Endgame, my movie of the year. For many of the same reasons that Kevin said. How do you not have something high up on the list or that have wrapped up 11 years of storytelling, and to do it in such a way that was meaningful and exciting, breathtaking. The visuals were amazing. The time travel was great. And, you know, I bawled like a baby when someone died, and then the funeral, and perfect send off. And, you know, we saw, I watched it 5 times or 6 times this year so far. I saw it twice in theaters. I saw it at home, you know, 3 times already. And so I really, really loved that film. It was a really good, film, and, you know, made me smile. There's a lot of great moments that you can recall and go call back to. And, I think it's really difficult to put an ending on something like that. As we can see with Star Wars, you know, it didn't make everyone happy. But it seemed to make everyone happy the way that the Avengers ended. You know, there wasn't a lot of complaints about that. And so I really, really enjoyed it. That was my number one as well.
Yeah, I would also say that there's a little bit of a difference. I mean, Episode 9 was the final chapter in the Skywalker saga. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we're still going to get, we know Thor 4 is coming out. You know, we know Guardians 3 is happening.
Right. Yeah, I mean, these characters, but they've also announced, though, that these current characters won't die off. Like, they'll somehow they'll still be used in the Star Wars, you know, maybe if they continue. I don't know if that means, you know, we see individual films or we see whatever. And also, Star Wars isn't dying, you know, it's just capped that the Skywalker stuff.
Yeah, it was 40 years in the making that they had to wrap up completely, because I mean, anything we get now is just books,
right,
and comics, which I'm fine with. I've said that I'm over the Skywalkers. I'm over it.
Yeah, I've been ready to. I think even when I watched The Force Awaken, I saw that and I went, this literally could have nothing to do with the Skywalkers. Like, mm-hmm. This is all new. Like, this doesn't have to be a Skywalker story, and it's barely one as it stands.
Yeah.
So I was ready then as well. Let's see. All right, let's move on to games. I'll go first this time, then Doug, and then Kev. My number five is going to be Apex Legends. Nice. That, you know, Battle Royale games have been the topic of discussion for a little bit in the last couple of years, but Apex Legends just came out throwing haymakers and being the best of the best right out the gate. It was a lot of fun. All three of us played it a ton. We played it with other people. I mean, Doug didn't, I don't think. Wait, Doug, you didn't play this game?
Nope, never even sold it.
Who the hell did I play it with?
no, not me.
I definitely played with you for a little bit.
Yeah, we played a little bit, but I played this very heavily. It was a lot of it was a good time, and in the space of launches for something, it did a really, really phenomenal job, and still going strong as well. So it's got a great following. So Apex Legends number five, one that Doug and I did not play together, apparently.
Nope. Show shit did not.
What's your number five, Doug?
My number five is a game that I discovered because of my brother-in-law.
You're welcome.
And his YouTube channel. He did a review of it a while back, And I was like, this game looks like a lot of fun.
Please.
And I've installed it, and I play it all the fucking time now, especially late at night when I just listen to some audiobooks. And that's the coin game.
Fuck yeah. I thought it was, when you were explaining it, I was like, what a dumb sounding game.
Putting the coin in the slot.
And then you you streamed it, and I watched it, and I was like, I am so fucking intrigued by this.
Yeah, it's just, well, the thing, I was like, you popped up and you were like, what the, are you fucking serious? Like, what the fuck is this? And I was like, oh, bud, hold on. I'm about to blow your goddamn mind.
We went on a whole adventure. We took a bus ride. We went to the arcade. We went to the fair.
Yeah, this game is fucking crazy. So it's essentially, it's a arcade simulator. Right now, because it's early access, the only mode to play is birthday mode, where you have unlimited funds, essentially. But they've built the game for a survival mode, which is then you have to get a job, and you have to earn money to play the games at the arcade, as well as be home in time for your curfew and all this other shit. So you can do a paper route, which you can do in the game. So you go, you pick up the papers, and then you have to hit all 12 mailboxes around this island. You can buy a golf cart and drive around the island. In the birthday mode, it's just available. You can just use it. There's a fair. There are two arcades now. There's a plethora of various games. There's laser tag. There's bumper cars. There is a pawn shop where you can sell your prizes for more money. You have a house where you can display your prizes and stuff in either the garage or your character's bedroom. You have a pet goose.
Mm-hmm.
Pet goose. Yeah, it is a goose. Yeah, I was going to say duck, but no, I'm pretty sure it's a goddamn goose.
Wow.
It's a huge island.
Overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah, you can. There are vending machines to buy snacks, because when you do the survival mode, you'll have to stay hydrated and eat. But you can eat the snacks, you can drink the drinks, and you can take those recyclables to the pawn shop, and you can pawn them off for like 50 cents for like recycling. It's fucking crazy. It's such a deep goddamn game. And it's just an arcade simulator. It's so fucking stupid. So yes, I will throw on an audiobook at night. If you ever are on Discord and you see that I'm playing coin game, you can guarantee I have Audible open. I'm listening to an audiobook, and I'm sitting at a coin pusher playing fucking games.
This is the future.
Yeah. It's fuck stupid.
Going outside.
And I love it. It's so dumb, and I fucking love it. So that's my number five, the coin game, which you'd think with after that glowing review, it'd be much, but no, it's number five.
All right. My number five is Resident Evil 2 Remake. Holy
nice.
Was that game good, man. It was so much fun to replay that game, because that was one of my favorite Resident Evil games. So being able to play it in 2019 with updated graphics and a DMX mod, that game was easily one of my favorite games of the year. It was so much fun to play. Doug, you couldn't play it, but you liked watching, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I put my whole playthrough on like Twitch so everyone could see it. And I played through twice to get the true ending, because you have two different characters you're playing as. So once you finish both of them, you get like the ultimate ending of it. And I did all of that because I had so much fun with that game. And even then, I went back and played it some more afterwards. So can't recommend that game enough. It should be on sale right now, pretty much on all consoles and system on Steam and everything. If you see it, I highly recommend picking it up if you like survival horror.
Nice. Very nice. My number four is going to be Mortal Kombat 11.
Nice.
Mortal Kombat is ingrained in me as one of my favorite series of all time. Just because of how much I played it in the arcade and how much I loved it on the Sega Genesis. And my buddy had it on the Super Nintendo, and I always used it against him. Oh, no blood, huh? And so, yeah, like, we were like, oh, you got the pussy machine. You know, just dumb shit that kids say. But we just made fun of them, and so anyways, Mortal Kombat has had some terrible games. After yes. 3, I think 4 through 9 were bad.
4 through 8,
9
was
four good. For, 9 was good. 10 was great, and then 11 was just phenomenal. It's mind-blowing. Now, I'm really mad at the game as well, because I can't play online. I miss the old days where combos were simple. You had to You could beat somebody without them, and you could just use special moves and jump kicks. You know, simpler times, yeah. I miss. But I still have fun with this, so that's my number four.
Word.
My number four is a game that came out in February. I had a lot of fun playing this game on stream with Caleb. We played the fuck out of this. We also played the one that came before, but this one was better, mm-hmm. and that is Far Cry New Dawn.
Oh, yeah, you guys were like had whole personas and everything.
Yeah, we played as the New Dawns, D-O-N-S, brother and sister duo. We looked exactly the same, mustaches and all. And, yeah, we had a fucking blast just rolling around the mountains and stuff in Montana and playing the game. And, again, we'd played Far Cry 5 together, so it was fun going in and playing this one. Also, and revisiting kind of the same area. It was a fucking blast, man. We had a great fucking time playing that.
Good. Nice. Good, good, good.
Awesome, man. All right, my number four is Red Dead Redemption 2. Man, I love that game. It was, the story mode in it is, I mean, I didn't really play much of the online, so I can't say I love that, but the story mode of it, I absolutely loved it. It's heartbreaking at times because the game gets real. I mean, it's the Old West, and the Old West is dying. And you're seeing industrialization, so you're seeing some crazy shit go down. And it's just, man, I just love the storytelling in it and the stuff to do in it. There's so much. You can hunt. Now you can take on bounties. You can do a bunch of other stuff. But, man, they did a good job. I can't say, because it's been, like, almost 10 years, so it's, like, it's hard to say it's worth the wait. But they did a good job of it, and I hope that they put some more story-based content out, because it seems like Rockstar just wants to put their online stuff and just have you do that now.
Well, there, I mean, yeah,
that's how they make their money.
Yeah, I mean, and if you do want more story stuff, online is all mission-based. Like, you can go and experience more stories. They're not as in-depth, but, you know, there is a cohesive story online. So
I'll have to give it a try. I'm trying to, like, now that it's on PC, I'm playing it online more and more. But it's hard to do it when you're doing it solo, too.
Yeah, I gave up on online because I was just like, man, I could be spending time in the story. Like, I could be finishing this off. So that's what I'm doing. And I was like, you can make the same progress on the single player that you do online. And I don't really interact with the fucking people online. So it didn't make any sense to me to keep going. So,
yeah.
My number three is going to be Borderlands 3. So I, man, it would have been higher on the list if I actually played with somebody. If that's what made the game so enjoyable was having a friend to play with or a group of friends to play through the entire story with, didn't have it this time. My buddy, decided not to get it and pick it up, and he's the one who I usually played with. And, you know, that's not saying obviously it was really good. It made my top three, and, the story was really funny. You know, the characters were annoying at times because they were all the same, but other than that, the same personality. Yeah, it was an interesting story. It kept me going and involved. I finished it really quickly. And I think that, you know, the Penn and Teller stages are so memorable.
So fucking good.
Yeah. Like it was a really fun game. I think if you haven't purchased it by now, you can find it on sale for about $35. I highly recommend it. Even if you're going to play through solo.
So. New DLC just came out too.
And the new DLC casino, came out. Moxie's, yeah. So yeah, I, you know, number three, it was good stuff.
My number three is The Outer Worlds.
Ooh, nice.
Okay. This game, I did not think I would give two shits about.
You did not. When we first started talking about it, you were like, eh, meh, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, because I don't care for Fallout.
Mm-hmm.
And like I liked Obsidian's Knights of the Old Republic 2. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was familiar with like some of their game mechanics. I mean, not much has really changed as far as like their games go between now and then. But yeah, I was just like, it came out not long after Borderlands, so my Borderlands partner bounced on me to play Outer Worlds with his girlfriend instead, even though it's not a fucking co-op game.
I mean, y'all could have just all played together if worse came to worst.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but yeah. So anyways, I ended up picking it up through Game Pass for free. Whatever, I pay for it, $5 or whatever. It was just like, wow, like this is silly. Like it knows exactly what it is and it makes fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the retro sci-fi vibe mm-hmm. of a lot of the things, like the ships and some of the weapons.
Like the shrink ray.
Oh my God, the shrink ray. Seriously, I was streaming today. I was doing like a countdown stream, which I'm going to pick up after the show, hopefully. And I was playing, and I had a new follower show up. It said it was not Pete C.
Oh, yeah.
So as far as I know, it's not Peter Kleins, but he tweeted at me like right before that, so I have to assume it was fucking... Anywho, I have no proof, but he was like... he said something. I was just like, oh my God, like Pete, like you just gotta check this game. Like this, I love this like retro vibe. And I had just picked up the sci-fi again. And mm-hmm. I was like, look at this thing. Like this is out of a 50s sci-fi movie.
Yep.
Like 50s B-level shitty sci-fi movie. It reminded me of that game that you and I played on Steam a handful of years ago. The one where you're like in the movie and there's the narrator and it's like the people in the shitty costumes and stuff.
And you're going up a tower. Tower of...
Tower of Monsters. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Like, that's what it reminded me of. Like, that Ray, especially. And yeah, it's been a fun story. But then it also has its, like, deeper moments and stuff. Like, when I saw that Ashley Burch was nominated for for Game of the Year awards show, whatever, the video game award.
Mm-hmm.
She was nominated for Pavarti from the game, and I was like, why? Like, she's just a secondary character. But then you play and you're like there's so much depth to that character mm-hmm. and her motivations and her personal life and all this stuff that it's just like, man, they really fucking thought this game through. Like, and you see that with a lot of the people as well as the lore. Like, there was a time that I was streaming, I was just like, oh my God, there's so much fucking lore. Like, there's so much stuff going on that I don't care about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like,
tell a story, man.
Oh, hey, you want to know about the politics on this planet? Oh my God, I don't.
but go on.
But go on, because yeah, heaven knows what, like, where this conversation's gonna lead.
That one conversation that's a throwaway conversation can be vital in a decision that you have to make 14 hours later in the game.
Yeah, crazy. It could lead to a side quest that you would not have picked up if you had not asked them about something. Yes, I'd go through as many of the dialogue trees as I can, often skipping things. Because it's just like, I don't care.
I don't care about you.
Don't care. Do you have a quest for me?
Feed me quests.
Yeah. But, yeah, surprisingly, I did not think I was going to like this game. There have been moments where I'm like, God, this is fucking slow. But, you know, it's an RPG game. Pretty much in general. I feel that way about going back to KOTOR and stuff too. I'll jump in and I'll just be like, God, fuck this game.
Dude, I just did that. I said the same exact thing when I went back to Red Dead Redemption 2. I'm still in chapter 2, but I was just like, fuck, this is moving so slowly for some reason.
It does. It kicks you off real slow.
Yeah,
but the story's amazing. That's the thing. It's like, again, it's another one where it's like, yep, the story's amazing, so that's why you keep playing. And
yeah.
You're like, you look at the map, and you're like, God damn it, I'm down at St. Denis, and I've got to go up to fucking Strawberry. So on the other side of the goddamn map, it's going to take me 30 minutes to ride there on horseback, supposing I don't get stopped by anything.
Yeah, supposing there isn't shots fired, supposing I don't want to hunt something or fish or...
run into a stranger or mm-hmm. whatever. But at the same time, you're like... all right, here we go. This is my life now. Yeah. At least Outer Worlds has fast travel.
Yeah, thank God. So. Kev?
There you go. My number three is Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
Fuck you.
That's all I've been fucking playing since it's come out.
Fuck that game.
The campaign was very enjoyable. I liked it a lot. And it was a nice little story. It was short and sweet. I had it finished in like 5 hours. I know Jer's so bitter. But the multiplayer, like, I'm actually enjoying it. It's very grounded. They went back to the basics of making it, you just get basic kill streaks. Nobody's running off the walls. Nobody's getting, like, weird-ass guns or just crazy, like, just out of the ordinary futuristic shit. It's just a basic shooter like how Modern Warfare was in the first place. They even started reintroducing maps. They just have like their season pass now that does the like Fortnite style tiers, and now everyone's doing the tiers. But they're throwing in old maps, like revisions of them, like Shipment, just like other ones like that. And it's been really fun, but I've been putting a ton of time into it. And I've gotten more kill streaks in this one than I've gotten like probably in all the other ones previous combined. Like, I'm pretty decent in it. And that's kind of weird because I'm not used to that. So I'm really enjoying this game for that respect. So that's my number three.
That's how I felt about Battlefront 2, where I was like, I'm not bad at this.
Yeah.
I'm not as bad as I thought I was. But...
All right, my number two is going to be Star Wars Jedi, Fallen Order.
Me too.
Yay.
Also nice. My number two.
Yeah, I mean, who would have thunk it? Yeah, the I really found the story really interesting. It wasn't the best story, but it was still a good story.
It was a simple story.
It was very simple. Yeah, a very simple story. I can't not like the game. I mean, it's essentially, you know, Tomb Raider, the new Tomb Raider mixed in with, what's his nuts, with his guns and also Tomb Raiding.
Uncharted.
Yeah, it was like Uncharted mixed with Tomb Raider, which, you know, some can say they're two in the same, but with a lightsaber. And I really loved those games, so hell, I'm going to like this one. Now, I did have to play it on easy because they went Dark Souls with it, and I can't handle that shit. So I was like, nope. I tried it. I tried it on normal difficulty, and same. I just after dying like 20 times, I just went, nah, this ain't for me. I don't have the time to sit here and do this shit. I ain't Kevin. But overall,
which I did just finish the game on Supreme Master last night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Weird flex.
Now, I will say, so the way that the level, the difficulty is named, I have an issue with. So the hardest version is Jedi Grandmaster or whatever.
Whatever.
Bitch, that should be Padawan. If you're getting your ass handed to you constantly, you are obviously not good in the Force. It should be fucking Padawan.
They should have flipped them.
They should have flipped
them. They should have flipped them.
It's easy. You're Jedi Grandmaster because fuck these bitches. They ain't nothing for you.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, man, I'm getting my ass kicked constantly. Yes, because you suck, newbie. So Jedi Padawan.
God damn.
Yep. I fully agree. Well, I wonder if that's a conversation they had too. And they were like, should we? And then like, no, it's going to confuse people.
No, people are going to be confused because, you know, the higher the rank, the harder it should be. No, not for a fucking Jedi Master. Get out of here.
So yeah, I had a good time. I always was bugged out by the bugged out eyes of, what's her name on the main ship? Huh? What?
Like in real life, she's got.
Oh, I know. But in the video game, it's even worse. And yeah, I just couldn't stop staring. Like whenever she was talking to me, I was like, those eyes. Those eyes. Yeah. She's so surprised. But overall, I mean, they delivered some really great stuff. And yeah, I liked it. Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah. And I thought the Gotham's Joker did a very good job being a Jedi.
Yeah, me too. Also,
oh yeah, that was him. Okay, now he looks familiar. Okay, I didn't see his. I stopped watching Gotham after season two.
Anyways,
here we go again.
Hey, can I ask you guys a real quick question? Why the fuck were we growing plants? What was the goddamn point of that?
Yeah, that was collectibles, like a Mass Effect thing. Yeah,
I was like, oh, this is gonna play a role somehow later on. Nope,
collectibles.
Yeah,
it was just a collectible thing. It was just to make sure that you scanned like everything on every fucking planet.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, which the completionist in me really wanted to do, but then I beat the game, and then I was kind of like, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's where I was at.
Kev?
I uninstalled it immediately. My number two is a PS4 exclusive, and it took me forever to beat, but when I did, I really enjoyed it. God of War. Remember when you guys used to give me every week? You're like, hey, did you beat God of War yet? Hey, yeah. Did you beat God of War?
So you finally beat it.
Yeah, I finally finished it.
And then, you did finish it, because then you came to us and you were like, yeah, I didn't get the ending. And then we got so mad at you for not understanding.
Did you not stick around?
No. It was the other way around. I told you guys about the extra after credits, the one where you go back home and you run into like Thor, and you guys didn't see that one.
I don't remember that. I remember you going, I don't get the ending.
Yeah, I definitely didn't understand the ending, and you guys had to explain it to me.
Yeah.
Oh, because you were like, I don't, what does it mean? Bitch, it means he's Loki.
Yeah.
And you were, oh yeah, because you related, I think you related, that's what you did. You related Marvel. You were like, yeah, but Loki and Thor, like you had this whole thing.
And I was like, no, you dumb shit.
Yeah.
Like, ignore everything exactly. Marvel has ever taught you about Thor and Loki. No.
Yeah.
Just damn spoilers.
It's been out for 4 years.
It's been 68 years. Yeah, no, if you didn't know that, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what? We didn't say who. Someone in the game is Loki.
Yeah.
But yes, so I finished that game and I loved it. I loved the Dark Souls style combat. And it was just like, as the game progressed, it's just funny hearing him, boy.
The boy.
Read this boy.
Boy.
His son to snap on him.
Read this boy.
Boy.
Fucking read his dad.
You know what would be really, you know, be
there was
up.
A part literally where the kid's like, and I was like, boy, get over here. I will whoop your ass. Boy.
You know,
boy,
you know, be messed up as if Chud Fu is actually almost at the end, and he's just like, and he's like, "Oh, damn it!"
Hey, it's still worth finishing.
Yeah, still worth it. All right, we've came to number one, and my number one is The Outer Worlds.
Nice.
Oh.
Yeah. There wasn't a video game this year that. Like Doug, it caught me, even though I was really anticipating it.
Yeah, you're really pumped.
I was super pumped for it.
You were one of the most annoying people in the world about it. I almost defriended you for all the when I'd be like, hey guys, here's some stuff for Borderlands, and you'd be like, you mean Outer Worlds? I'm like, no, motherfucker, I'm sending you goddamn shift keys, piece of shit. I'm sorry, you finished the game in 8 goddamn hours.
Yeah, I moved on, man. I was expecting you to.
I was
as well.
Like, yeah, but Kev and I are still playing.
Yeah, but you had a lot of emotion going on, so I forgive you for that. You know, your one of your besties just left you behind to not play the game.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, to play Outer Worlds with his girlfriend, which, once again, I might add, not a multiplayer game.
So it's you had a lot going on your mind, you had a lot on your plate. So I get it. I'm sorry, you know, but fuck, it was really good. I highly enjoyed it. I really like the Fallout games. You know what's funny is I never played Fallout New Vegas, which is what this developer was responsible for. So mm-hmm. I may at some point go back and give it a shot.
You should. I mean,
it's hell is like the best of the franchise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, but the Outer Worlds blew me away. You know, I was really, really caught up in the story. It was really fucking funny. Like the first thing that happens, you land your fucking ship
on the person that's supposed to help you.
Yeah.
And like, he's like, hey, this long story about like, hey, I got this guy. I set him up. He's going to lead you through this entire thing. He's going to show you how to get it done. It's going to be great. Just take this drop ship. Oh.
Well, okay. Take his stuff.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have to do this on your own now.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
And I don't think that I've had a moral conundrum in a video game in a very long time. Like, the first city you come to and the first major
decision. Do you save
decision.
It or do you let it burn to the ground?
Right? And I made the dumb decision. I made the wrong one. And I won't spoil anything, but I found out a very disturbing detail after I saved them. And then the city hated me, and I had to wipe out all of the security in the city. It was a rough start to a game.
Okay, hold on. I want to talk to you after the show, because I don't know. I did not do that, and so I'm curious. I want to know what that story is. When I was streaming and stuff, I got to that point where I was like, "Hey, what are you gonna do?" And I was like, "Oh no! I'm not ready to make this decision right now."
I was like, "We're an hour in."
Yeah, I was like, okay, hold on. I need to turn this other mission into that person, and that triggered the ending. And I was like, to resolve that, and I was like, no, that's not what I wanted to do.
And you know, there's just a ton of that in the game. Like, I made the right decision about somebody. I was like, this security person was like, hey man, like don't. The scientist was like, hey man, I'm doing all this important research. This isn't my fault. I'm trying to save this entire colony. And if we don't get this research data to blah, blah, blah. But motherfucker, man, this is what happened. I decided, I was like, yeah, let's save you. Let's save your research. Let's do this. She got in front of my gun as I clicked to shoot the security guard that was running towards me. Hit her in the head. She died instantly. Scientist is gone.
Yeah.
And it affects the entire game. And I just went, and I'm not one of those people who's like, I'm going to save it and go back and like try it again. I'm like, this is what happened. I got to roll with the punches. And just because I'm just like, why not? Like I kind of live it like it was a real situation. So I was like, she died. So this is how we're going to roll. So yeah, that was my number one, Outer Worlds. It was really great this year. So
nice.
Doug.
Oh shit. My turn. My number one is Borderlands 3.
Wow.
I absolutely adore the Borderlands franchise.
Oh yeah.
It has been one of my all time favorites. The fact that it was like 7 years between games, and the fact that like Caleb and I would go back and still play Borderlands 2 and all the DLC and stuff years later because of how much fun it was and how good it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the third one. I thought it was, you know, it was fucking hilarious. Jer mentioned Penn and Teller. I totally forgot they were in the game. Mm-hmm. I literally forgot until I was at their base.
And you hear about their voices. To fight them. Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Oh, really?
I was hearing their voices. Yeah, because you enter like the area outside of their air, their arena thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, God damn it. This voice is so fucking familiar. I don't know who this is. Totally ignoring all the posters for them.
Oh my God. That's where I saw it. I saw the posters and I was like, oh my God, this is Penn and Teller.
Yeah. Well, and their name is Pain and Terror.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, it just went over your head.
I was in the game. I was not paying attention. I was just like, okay, this is gonna be Buck Wilder because I have to go. It's like a TV show. Like I'm listening to the things he's saying. It's so funny, and it's not fucking clicking. And then at one point, I literally was on their arena thing, or whatever. And yes, right next to the vending machine, giant poster. And I was like, motherfuckers, it's Penn and Teller, Pain and Terror. God damn it. That's whose voice I was listening to.
You were like, 4 hours.
Yeah,
4 hours.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh my fucking God. And it looks just like them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is no like, oh, it could be them. No. It's them. And, oh. Fucking kill me. I totally missed that entirely. But yeah, Borderlands 3, I love the game. I need to get the new DLC. It's such a wonderful, even the Halloween stuff they dropped also was a lot of fun.
It was fun. Yeah, I played that.
And that came out, you know, that was around the same time as Outer Worlds in like October. And I remember being like, God, I wish someone would fucking play with it, because it was fucking, it was hard. It was difficult. You're like killing people, but then these ghosts were coming out of them and attacking you. Mm-hmm. And it was tough, but it was, I mean, you got some awesome loot out of it. And I was just like, man, I wish someone would come. But no, they're all playing Outer Worlds. And then I was like, fine, I pay for Game Pass. I guess I'll play Outer Worlds.
And then you were like, all right, wow. Fuck, it's really good. Damn it.
Yeah. So, anyways, Borderlands 3.
Kev, what's your number one?
My number one, I'm surprised it didn't make anyone's list, and that's
Marvel's Street Fighter 4. Oh, what?
Marvel's well, that made Spider-Man. Our list last year, bud, when the game came out.
No, it was a 2019 game, I thought.
No, it was. Nope. It's 2018.
Fuck, I must have beat it in 2019 then. Shit! Yeah. Okay, well, that's my 2019 game. No, because I really like adored that game.
Yeah, same thing with Red Dead. You mentioned Red Dead also. That was also a 2018 game.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, I guess it was games that I beat in 2019. That I... Fuck.
Both.
I give you a pass on
Spider-Man came out in September.
Mm-hmm.
God of War came out in like April, bud.
Yeah. Well, like I said, remember that one took me forever because you guys had. Remember there was a time where you guys had to badger me.
The only pass I'm giving you is Red Dead because it came out for PC this year.
PC, yeah. As well as like it came out in October of last year,
mm-hmm.
And none of us had beat it by then.
Yeah, it took us a while. I think I was the first one.
I still haven't beaten it yet. It was on my list of games of 2018. I hadn't even beaten it yet because I was just like, I love this game. It's on my list.
Yeah,
but yeah, God of War and Spider-Man were on my list last year.
Yeah, but I platinumed it. I loved it. I played it afterwards. I really hope that they make a Spider-Man 2.
They're working on it. They're already hiring for another Spider-Man game.
Good. Good, especially now that like Sony's come out with that Spider-Verse, where you know I just want to see what if they can have a storyline that would kind of involve a Spider-Verse. You know,
well, I mean, you saw the ending, right?
Yeah. So I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, I hope they get more of. I hope we get into that when it comes out.
It'd be good.
Probably like
God of War was April 2018.
Yeah. I really thought Red Dead came out this year.
It did on PC.
Spider-Man was September 2018.
Yeah.
And Red Dead Redemption 2 was October 26, 2018. Well, because remember Wednesday.
The 5th of November.
Remember the 5th of November.
No, remember Wednesday. Yeah. The whole joke. Hey, fellas, if we impregnate our wives now, we play Red Dead during our maternity leave.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I remember that.
And only one of us followed through.
I think you already did at that point, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No,
that's why I put the bet
the
out
deed was
there.
Already done. It just happened to work out. Like, hey, remember that time we made that? Remember that time we made that joke? Oh, yeah. Well, that's coming true for me.
All right. That's it. We've finished our top five list for 2019. Next week, we've got even more. We're doing a top five of the decade, so make sure that you tune in for that. If you haven't already, go check out our website at www.the8bitgeek.com. It's got links to everything from our Discord to our Patreon if you want more content. Do that. And until next week, have a Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Hanukkah, and happy whatever Kev's
Life
celebrating.
Day.
Life Day.
Happy Life Day.
And Happy Voodoo Day. What's the day that you're celebrating, Kev, on Facebook?
Happy Festivus.
Festivus.
Yeah, Happy Festivus.
Happy Festivus for the rest of us.
So so until next week. And, I guess Happy New Year too, right? Or no?
No.
We'll be.
Our top 10 will be.
That's right.
Next week will
That's
be
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right before the end of the year. Yep.
All right. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
And until then, lots of love, hugs, and all that bullshit.